Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. The number to call, if you have an opinion, is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports, and you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, hope everybody had a great week. It's Saturday. It's hot outside, at least if you're in the Northeast. It's hot outside. So you're probably stuck in the house, maybe, or maybe you're outside barbecuing, or maybe who knows what you're doing, but stop them by, take a listen, blogtalkradio.com/pgant, take a listen and enjoy the show. Today we're going to be joined by Kieran Mulvaney of ESPN.com. Kieran wrote an interesting article about Floyd Mayweather today. You can read that article on ESPN.com. Look under the boxing section. You can find Kieran's article. Interesting article, interesting take on the man, Floyd Mayweather Jr. And this, there was a supposed deadline by Top Rank and Bob Arum for the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. Their basic premise is if you don't take the fight by this day, which was 12 o'clock Pacific time, which would be 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time last night, or should I say today, if you don't accept that, if you don't accept the fight negotiations and everything that we set out, if you don't accept these things, then at this point you're not interested in fighting and we're going to move on. Pacquiao's camp is ready and wants to fight on November 13th. That's the date they have picked. As of right now, Floyd has not said anything or has not even acknowledged them or acknowledged anyone concerning this fight. So at this point, the fight is not on. I'm sure definitely this is not a hard deadline. Arum said it wasn't a hard deadline. But, I mean, I think at some point you would expect if Floyd came to Arum and Pacquiao tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, and said that he wanted to fight Pacquiao, I'm sure the Pacquiao camp and Bob Arum would not say no. So with that being said, I'm starting to question whether this fight will ever get done. I mean, it's a fight that everybody in boxing, outside of boxing, everywhere, every boxing fan wants to see this fight. And these guys, for whatever reason, can't get it done. There was the situation with the drug testing, and Pacquiao didn't agree to 14 days. It's just right now, it's all a mess. Floyd wanted Pacquiao to take random drug testing 14 days up to the fight. Believe the Pacquiao camp said about a month they were willing to do, about 20-some-odd days. And at this point, they're obviously in a holding pattern because both camps have not agreed to anything. I guess the Pacquiao camp and Bob Arum is saying that they have agreed to Floyd's demands. I mean, what they have agreed to, what his demands are at this point, who knows? Who knows? Who knows at this point? But, I mean, you know. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's been a situation that's been going on for a while now. You thought at some point the fight would get made. You're hoping at some point the fight would get made. But for whatever reason, the egos maybe, they just can't check the egos at the door and get this done for whatever reason. And I think it's ego. Ego plays a big role in this. I mean, everyone has some type of ego on some level. Some are bigger than others. I mean, Beyonce was saying it's too wide, too big, too strong. You know, so I talk like this because I can back it up. I mean, so maybe, you know, Floyd talks the way he talks because he can back it up in the ring. And he has that ego maybe because he can back it up in the ring. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I mean, and maybe with this deadline now that maybe these guys will fight. Maybe they'll fight next year, 2011. Maybe Floyd's going to take the year off and just relax at this point and get into the ring next year, I guess, against Pacquiao. But at some point, I mean, right now it's hot. The oven is hot. People want to see this fight. And for whatever reason, egos have gotten into the way throughout this whole process, and it just can't get done. And it has not gotten done. But, you know, hopefully at some point we will see this fight. And we'll talk to Kieran Mulvaney of ESPN.com. He's going to talk about this fight and talk about Floyd Mayweather. And where does this whole situation go from here? I talked about Mayweather, but you saw LeBron and his whole thing, the decision, the hour special, to decide whether he's going to go to the Heat, Cavaliers, or wherever else he was going to go. Ego. I mean, ego has a way of getting in the way of things. It can be a gift and a curse. I mean, if you have a big ego, you probably think high of yourself. And thinking high of yourself, you're going to support everything that you do. You're going to be confident in all your abilities. If you have a big ego, that's probably what's going to come from that big ego. But a lot of times, and sometimes, that ego, which can be a gift, turns into a curse. Because it gets in the way of progress, and it gets in the way of your decision making, and it sometimes makes you blind to certain things. And was it LeBron's ego that told him to have that hour special and put it on national television, his decision on where he's going to play in the upcoming season? Was it his ego who did that? Maybe. I mean, many believe it is. Many believe he was wrong in doing that and putting it on the air like that and breaking the hearts of the fans of Cleveland. I mean, I guess his mindset was like, look, I'm LeBron James, baby. So I can do what I want to do. You're going to watch. I watched LeBron. You're right. I watched. It was good. Interesting. A little funny. I watched. A lot of people watched. So why not do it? If you're going to watch, why not do it? Why not do it? If people are going to watch, why not do it? You just gave them something to talk about. And, I mean, I guess it was there to further the LeBron brand and grow him. But I think in a lot of ways it hurt him. I think it hurt him. And there's been a backlash ever since against LeBron James and against that whole Miami Heat ball club at this point. Been a big backlash. So did the ego of LeBron James get in the way? Did the ego of LeBron James get in the way of his decision making and made him make a questionable decision here and putting his decision on national TV? I mean, did that get in the way? Did it get in the way? Some would say yes. And ego hurt him there. But like I said, Sometimes that ego can be too wide. It can be too strong, as Beyonce eloquently pointed out in her song. And so, in saying all of that, let's talk about ego. What do you think? What's your thoughts? Is ego getting in the way of Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao getting into the ring? Is ego what made LeBron James go on national TV and make a decision? Was that ego? Is that ego? Let's take a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hey, this is Xavier McDonald. What's going on, Paul?
How are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I wanted to call and make a comment on your topic today. You guys are talking about LeBron. You're talking about ego. I happen to be one of your listeners, and I'm from. Say it again, please.
Go ahead.
I happen to be one of your listeners, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So I wanted to really comment on what you're talking about today.
Let's get your take. I mean, you have an interesting take. You are from Cleveland, so you know the mindset of Northeast Ohio.
Yes, I do. So I think I have my I have my finger on the pulse of that situation, and it's very touchy there. You know, for the Cavaliers faithful there. You know, we haven't had a winning team in a long time, and we finally got somebody who was from the city actually, but you know, somewhere close. He can claim Cleveland.
Right.
And that's the first time that they've ever had that measure of success in, you know, almost 15, 20 years. So personally, I don't really say anything negative about what LeBron and how he did it, because he's a man, he's a businessman for one. And he has to look out for himself. The city of Cleveland is not going to look out for LeBron James, okay? I think the thing that the fans are really hurt about is just the way how he did it. You know, he didn't, from our perception, he didn't let the management or the ownership of the Cleveland Cavaliers didn't give him enough time to make any moves. You know, they pretty much found out when everybody else found out, you know, on national TV that he was taking his talent to South Beach.
He dumped them on national TV, basically.
He
told them, you know what, we were together for 7 years. You want to marry me, but I don't want to marry you. So I'm going to dump you on national TV and don't even bother to tell you. Don't even bother to call you. Is that ego? Is that LeBron's big ego getting in the way?
I think that's very disrespectful, Paul. You know, the way he did it, you know, what he did, I really can't. I don't know who's advising LeBron James. You know, I don't know the deals that are being made, you know, in these offices and whatnot. No one knows. All we can do is speculate, you know. Could it be ego? I think it is. But I think all top-tier athletes have some type of ego, you know. So you just can't put that just on LeBron James. What about Kobe Bryant at 18 saying that he's, you know, doing a conference, saying he's not going to he's going to forego college and go to the NBA, you know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing with that. If you compare that, but let's compare that to what LeBron James did. I mean, this is unprecedented. He went on national TV, an hour special, called The Decision, and he's basically telling the world where he's going. That doesn't happen. And, hey, I know, I mean, hey, you got to have, there's takes two to tango. He has to go down with, somebody has to put him on their air. And obviously ESPN was the one who put him on the air, and but to me, in doing what he did, it just reeks of an ego going bad.
I think to a certain degree, Paul, I think I have to agree with you. You know, it was really ugly and really nasty and really messy on the way he did it. Now, we're not going to talk about what he did. We're going to talk about how he did it.
Did is fine. I mean, he's entitled to do that. He's a free agent, and he's open to sign wherever he wants to sign. That's his decision. That's his call. But how he did it, you're right, is questionable at best.
I was going to say, I guess you took the words right out of my mouth. Questionable at best. You know, I don't know what was motivating him to do it that way, or what motivated him to do it that way, or who motivated him to do it that way. But the whole city of Cleveland, the whole state of Ohio was sick behind that. I will tell you that everyone I reached out to, as soon as it happened, my phone went crazy. You know, I'm an expatriate and whatnot. You know, I'm a Cleveland boy living outside of the state limits. And, you know, everybody called me. Could you believe LeBron? It ain't about what he did. It's how he did it. How he going to do the Cavs like that? He said he's going to, you know, always be loyal to the city and whatnot. You know, a lot of people are really excommunicating LeBron. They burn his jersey in the streets.
And, I mean, fair or unfair, I guess if he would have done it a little differently, if he wouldn't have let that ego get in the way, I mean, regardless, they would have disliked LeBron, but maybe it would have been not as bad.
Not that bad. I tend to agree with you, sir. If he would have conducted himself in a different way, in a different manner, as far as, like, letting the ownership know of his intentions, because he knew what he was going to do, you know, when he took his jersey off, when he lost in the semis. You know, he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was out of Cleveland. So he should, I can't say he should have been mad enough, but I think he should have been adult enough, you know, and how would you say, unselfish in letting the ownership and the management know, you know, for the Cleveland Cavaliers organization that he had intentions on maybe going somewhere else. So, and that would have gave the ownership a plan B, because there was no plan B. LeBron is signing,
how do you have a plan B with LeBron James? I mean, players like LeBron James don't grow on trees. They grow on women, I guess, but they don't grow on trees. So, I mean, they don't grow. But being from Ohio, I kind of want to get your take on this. Do you dislike LeBron James at this point?
Do I dislike LeBron James? I can't say that I dislike. I don't know him enough to dislike. I can't say I know him enough. I don't know that man to dislike him. I dislike his decision. Well, I can't say that. Let me retract that. I don't dislike his decision. I dislike the way he aired his decision.
Okay. And then that's fair enough. And we thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. Love the show, man.
Appreciate it.
All right.
That was good. It was good to get it's good to get a point of view from a person from Ohio. I mean, that was an interesting take on LeBron James. See, and then the guy from Ohio, Xavier from Ohio, his point was he's not really mad about the decision LeBron made. He's mad how LeBron made the decision. That's what he's mad about. And it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely an interesting discussion, an interesting situation. But anyway, you know, ego is something, man, that in a lot of ways it can be a deadly situation, and it can be a situation that can affect decision making, can affect how we conduct and live our lives. And ego, unfortunately, may be getting in the way of what possibly could be the biggest fight in ages, Pacquiao Mayweather. Ego is getting in the way of that. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that ego is getting in the way. We're now joined by our co-host, Jeremy Espy. He's joining us a little late. Got stuck in traffic. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. What's doing, man? I'm listening on the iPhone, and I have to say I'm a little bit disappointed.
We don't have any sponsorship deals with iPhone, so quiet.
Well, I guess I understand, because I'm listening on the phone. I'm disappointed if you really think that it's as much of an ego as it's also not really about the fact that, I mean, very much, and there is a large potential where, I mean, if you're not willing to get tested to a certain standard, to me, maybe you do need to raise the question, is does somebody have something to hide?
Well, I mean, and that is another interesting take on that particular situation. Definitely, I would agree, if you don't have anything to hide, the testing should be done and should be done without any problems. I would agree with that.
We talked about that.
I mean, but I think it's larger than that on some level. I think it really is larger than that. There was a countdown clock on Top Rank's website, and so they were waiting for Floyd's decision. And we all know, by seeing Floyd on TV, watching 24/7, and reading Karen Mulvaney's article on ESPN.com, that Floyd is not going to go by anybody's deadlines and anybody's timetable but his own. And be right or wrong, good or bad, Floyd's way has made Floyd millions and millions of dollars and has made Floyd, he's undefeated at this point. His way has served him well throughout his life.
Oh, but Paul, I mean, I think that we're not questioning, you know, the fighter or each fighter's, you know, promoting and their business acumen during their careers. But I mean, I still wonder. I mean, I go back and in regards to this fight, to me, it seems like the drug testing issue really it shouldn't be an issue, but because it is, I'm very curious about that. I mean, I would think both of the fighters have been around long enough to know. I mean. That they are the top of their game, and if one of the fighters says, "Hey, look, we want to do the blood test in this way," could it be about ego? Yeah, it very well could be, but I mean, it's a big money fight. They're not. To me, this is stupid. Unless that's why I don't see ego. Unless because you're in boxing for the money. I mean, there's no boxer in there that gets the Mayweather or Pacquiao stance.
We do, Paul. But I mean, we do any job for the money. I mean.
Oh well, you know, we do, Paul. We do.
Yes. Yes.
I think maybe everybody. I'm saying everybody, but maybe we do, Paul. There are people that do things because they enjoy it. You know, there are people out there that do things 2 to 3 times a week, maybe 4 times a week because they enjoy it.
Right.
You know, and I'm not talking dirty. But I think when you get to a championship, when your name throughout the world is known, and you get to this fight, you fight this long, you get to this fight, few fighters, and you know that, Paul, few fighters are going to get this payday. And it's interesting, you know, you watch I watched again 2 nights ago, I couldn't sleep, I was watching the rerun of Tyson, the documentary, and he makes it, you know, he said a few fighters made the hundreds of millions that he made and blew, and I think Pacquiao Mayweather should really think long and hard before they blow this opportunity again. This isn't going to come around, and especially when they both fought the two other theoretical best guys in that division, and they mopped the floors with both of them. Really, you know, are you and I, the customers, going to pay to watch another promoted hype of a non-Mayweather-Pacquiao fight when in 1 week later you can watch it on HBO?
Well, I was excited to see Mayweather get into the ring with Shane Mosley. That was a fight I definitely was interested in and was excited about. But at this stage of the game, it's time to set the egos aside and get this done. And I think ego is standing in the way. Let me give you a short definition of ego. The I or self of any person, a person that's thinking, feeling, and willing and distinguishing itself from the selves of others and from objects of its thought. Egotism, conceit, self-importance. Her ego becomes more unbearable each day. Just an example of egotism. But, you know.
But, Paul, I mean, you're going to. I mean, I can't tell you how much I vehemently think that it's not an ego problem. When both fighters know this is what they worked their whole competitive fighting career for. Unless one of them has something that they certainly don't need exposed. And look, I'm the biggest Pacquiao, I think, supporter. I really think he's a great fighter, but I will say I think it's awkward at a minimum that you would not have a problem with being tested 2 seconds before a fight, during the fight. I mean, if you truly know that you're not doing anything wrong, I do think that it may be asking a lot of you to prove something that you shouldn't have to prove, but I also do not think that you want to do that.
Well, I mean, I think if it's truly about the testing, I think they should get it done. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's larger than that. And we'll see how this whole thing plays out, but it's been going on for a long, long, long time. Hello, y'all, go for it. Hello?
We have a call.
Dink.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Dink, Cleveland. I was giving you a number. I heard you guys was talking about the LeBron James situation.
Yeah, we were talking about ego and whether LeBron's ego got into the way. It's just, are you from Ohio?
Yes.
Give me your thoughts. How you feel about LeBron's decision?
Well, I mean, you can't be mad at his decision to leave. He was a free agent. You know, if he wanted to leave, he wanted to leave. My problem is, and I think a lot of other people's problem is, the way in which he did it, the manner in which he did it. You know, I wouldn't say string along, but, you know, this guy bent over backwards for you for 7 years, gave you everything you wanted, and he least deserved to tell, you know, a face-to-face meeting to say, I'm leaving. You don't just find out 2 minutes before you go on air to say, I'm leaving, and leave my team in the cold. I think that they feel more betrayed behind that, not his decision to leave Cleveland to go to Miami.
Now, being that you are from Cleveland and you have, I guess, the pulse of Cleveland and know the pulse of Cleveland, did that come down to, are you not, you're saying you're not mad at what he did, you're mad at how he did it.
Right. I think he could have did it in a more respectful manner and let the organization know that he was leaving, because I do and honestly believe that he knew all along that he was leaving Cleveland. And that being the case, just go ahead and let these guys know that you're leaving and what your decision is, and let us move on. You know, you don't find out.
At this point, do you like LeBron James?
I think he's an excellent talent, but I just think he's a very arrogant person.
What your owner did, you know, and said in regards to LeBron and the actions? You just called him selfish, and so were you in agreement with what the owner did?
Oh no, I think that was unprofessional, Dan Gilbert. Also, you know, I mean, you're owner of a team. You know, I mean, you might have been upset and hurt. There could have been a better way or situation. You handled that. Also, I believe he was wrong. Also. I think they both of them handled the situation very poorly.
But I would think, you know, being from Cleveland, and I personally would dislike LeBron James. I mean, he basically was like, yo, I don't want you no more, and I'm not going to tell you to your face. I'm going to put you on blast. I'm going to put it on national TV and tell you I don't want to be with you no more.
Right, that goes to the manner in which, I think that's the manner in which he's done it. You can't be mad at his decision to leave. Dude, before he came to Cleveland won 17 games.
Right.
So you're saying LeBron James the man. You're saying you have no respect for LeBron James the man, but LeBron James the athlete. You know, you understand his decision. It's his decision to make, and he, you know. But as a man, you're saying you're done with him.
Right. As that showed me a lot about his character, the manner in which he did things. You know what I mean? Like I said, there's a way to handle everything, and I think he handled that situation poorly. You know what I mean? But as a free agent, as it being a business, he has the right as a free agent to go wherever he want to go.
Right. I agree with that. But that, to me, it comes down to ego out of control, ego going wild. You got to put it on national TV and tell the world where you're going. It's ego going. It's ego out
right.
of control.
I agree. That's like I said. I think that's a part of me that like he's an arrogant. Think the world revolves around him. You know, the whole thing. So I will have to agree with you on his ego. I think he has a huge ego. And, you know, you got to have hold a press conference to tell the world where you're going. You know,
no,
I mean, that's
it wasn't a press conference. We're talking about a show. We're talking about an hour show dedicated to LeBron James and where he is going. I mean, I watched.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. I watched. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the highest rated show.
I came, I saw, I laughed.
Yeah. So.
But
I do believe a lot of people in Cleveland is more upset behind that fact than the actual fact of him leaving in the way that he did. You know, because
it is
the business, and like I said, he fulfilled his contract, and he was obligated to go wherever he wanted to. So you can't be mad at him for wanting to go to Miami and take the easy road to a championship. That's his choice.
But if you had an opportunity to go to South Beach, wouldn't you want to go to South Beach? And
I'm sure I would.
all those things in South Beach? I mean, you're LeBron James now.
The competitor in me, I probably wouldn't have wanted to do it like that, but, you know, that's why we're different people. That's why LeBron's LeBron and I'm me.
So you're, and then that's something that Paul, so let me take a second and expand on that. You, you think like he and Bosch or all three of them collectively, in terms of their decision to play on the same team, as an NBA fan, I mean, do you like this for the new NBA now, where three mega stars are on the same team, where it's like the Globetrotters to a certain degree?
Well, with Globetrotters played against some bums, I mean, they still have to play the game. My thing is, okay, yeah, you got three superstar athletes on the team, but that doesn't guarantee a title. You still have to play the game. That's why the game is played every day. You know what I mean? Just because Ray Allen did it doesn't mean that Dwayne Wade and LeBron would be able to do it. Because you also got to figure Karl Malone and Gary Payton went to the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, and they didn't win.
Right. Oh, I mean, no, we couldn't agree more. And they have to get through the Lakers, and the Lakers are certainly not they didn't lose anybody off that championship team.
Forget the Lakers. They got to get out of the Eastern Conference. They
got
to beat the Celtics.
And Chicago got better with Boozer.
Exactly. Got the Chicago Bulls, too.
Right.
So I'm not ready to crown these guys. Not at all.
Right.
I ain't crowning these guys yet.
Right. My thing is, man, you guys giving them a title. They haven't even practiced yet.
Exactly.
Well, I think, we've said that before. The media loves this, and I think they want the fans to fall in love with this. The TV ratings, I think they'll love this on NBC. But yeah,
it's definitely a money thing. It's definitely a money thing. The media is going to eat it up, and they're going to get paid off of it.
I guess in terms of money, though, in fairness to LeBron, he did donate the proceeds of the advertising for the show to the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Right. And then I know we spoke on Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert, I don't really think Dan Gilbert really cares about LeBron. I think he just looked at the money aspect or money he's about to lose without LeBron.
Oh, yeah. He was – well, you could see that in what he wrote and what he said. It came out within seconds. He's hurt because, like you said, they're going back. Next year, they're not winning 30 games. And I don't mean to be rude to you, but I can't see them winning 30 games. I don't see them winning more than 20, 25 games next year.
This year.
Well, I hate to say it, but ding dong, basketball is dead in Cleveland.
Right. But, you know, so my thing with that is I was like, for one, if you think a guy quit on you, why would you want him back on your team?
Well, obviously it was sour grapes. He was acting like a jilted lover.
Right.
One
so,
of those,
I mean, I just think Dan Gilbert saw all that money that he's not going to get now because LeBron's gone.
Well, and I think you're right. We thank you for your insight, sir. And continue
all right,
to call on back.
All right, man.
All right. And again, another interesting take from somebody from the Ohio area. I'm getting the sense right now that they're not necessarily upset about what he did, but they're
well, Paul, it was only and you. But Paul, you know this. I mean, this was a short-lived dynasty in Cleveland. It was 4 years, maybe potentially at its greatest, 3 to 4 years. So, I mean, I think Cleveland, in and of itself, as a basketball town, is used to and they are accustomed to not being overly successful in the long run. So, I think the fans there. Do reckon, and they knew this for 2 years. That and for the last 2 years, every offseason it was talked about that this year was potentially his last year.
They knew it once he signed that contract, the 3 years
ago.
They knew it. They knew that,
right.
And they knew this was always a possibility, and it was a reality a few weeks ago. So, I mean,
I told you this a week ago, and I said it on Monday. I'm telling you, it's a 4 year deal in Miami, and I think LeBron and his team of people are highly, you know, they're highly motivated to certainly recognize that LeBron James is best suited in the short run. Certainly not tying him to a team, any team in the long run, is not a good idea. It's a 6-7 year deal in potentially, but he'll opt out at the end of the fourth year. He has to. He'll be 29.
Those guys will stick around. I think they're going to. I think they're going to win a championship. They're going to win a championship at some point. I mean,
they're going to win one. In the third year, because next year the problem is, I mean, in my opinion, the Celtics actually. I mean, The Celtics really got better. I mean, Jermaine O'Neal for Rasheed Wallace, in my opinion, is an upgrade. And they just
Rasheed Wallace may also he hasn't officially declared his retirement, so it's still up in the air. He may be back.
No, right, and that's why I say, and we know about the Bulls. So I think that there's a very large potential for for upswing in the East, and it will certainly be interesting this year. The only thing I think that if you look at Miami, where they may have they got Elgoskis to come in, and I think for LeBron, if anyone for LeBron, that will be a big help because he'll have at least one familiar face, and he's not a proven center. I mean, but he gets the job done.
He definitely gets the job done, but unfortunately, he's not a guy who.
No, you're not winning the championship with him. Yeah, you're not winning the You're not going to win the championship if he's your center. I mean, unless they get a power forward like Boozer, so which they won't. So I mean, they have much work to do.
We are now joined by Karen Mulvaney of ESPN.com. Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good, sir. Thanks for calling the show.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for having me on.
Now, you wrote an interesting article about Floyd Mayweather today, which can be seen on ESPN.com. Judging by some of the things that you said in this article, and I want to quote it from here, you said Floyd Mayweather doesn't do deadlines. And we all know that Floyd does have a big ego and is a guy who does his own thing. Now, you honestly didn't believe that Floyd would actually follow this deadline, did you?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we're still all trying to figure out what on earth has been going on. I mean, obviously, any big fight, any negotiation, there's got to be a deadline at some point. You know, like I said in the article, basically half the welterweight and junior middleweight divisions are waiting on this fight and seeing what happens. But the moment that it became public, the moment that Bob Arum said, everything is sorted, the deal is signed, or the deal just needs to be signed, it's just up to Floyd, and he's got 2 weeks to do it. The moment that happened, you had to have doubts about whether Floyd was going to sign, just because he is his own man.
Now, did that kind of go against what they had been saying, that the negotiations would not go public?
Well, Arum's take on it is that nothing went public until the negotiations were complete. He claims that as far as he was aware and concerned that they had agreed a contract, that the final contract had been given to Manny, who had agreed with it, and that they believed that Floyd had agreed with it because these are the negotiations that they had been having, these were the points they agreed, and that it was just a case of waiting for signatures, that basically everything was signed, that it was agreed.
And doesn't this really, though, hurt the negotiations? Because now the media certainly is going to be paying more attention daily, if not weekly, to this supposed fight for the second time.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think a lot of us had, candidly, I think a lot of us in the media have been trying to pretend it wasn't happening. I think most of us were getting to a point where, enough is enough, really. And I don't know that anybody actually now expects this fight to take place, certainly not this year. Who knows what's going on in Floyd's head? Who knows why he has not met this deadline? It may just be because he doesn't want to be told to meet a deadline, and he may decide on his own time frame next week that he's all for it. It isn't quite over yet until Manny Pacquiao makes an agreement with either Antonio Margarito or Miguel Cotto. But I think probably most folks will feel that this fight is over for this year, and that if it happens at all, it'll be next summer.
Now, if Floyd Mayweather, hypothetically speaking, came to Bob Arum 2 weeks from today and told him that he was interested in fighting in November, obviously, do you think, well, I can't say obviously because you never know, but do you think that Bob Arum and Top Rank and Manny Pacquiao would accept the terms?
I thought building up to this, as it became obvious that things were not quite going to work out, that the smart thing to do would be for Floyd, if he just really wanted to, make it look as if, it was on his terms, would come back with a counteroffer that was really, really close to what they'd agreed. But from the very beginning, they decided it was going to be November 13th. Bob Arum and Top Rank and Manny Pacquiao's people had decided he was going to fight on November 13th, partly because of his congressional obligations, partly because that's the date that they picked, partly because they also wanted to have Cowboy Stadium open as a backup, and that's one weekend, you know, that does that the Cowboys are away without it butting up against Thanksgiving, you know, that they felt that that was, you know, and then after Thanksgiving you get into Christmas and so on and so forth. So they figured that that was the date. So I think, you know, I think one way or the other they're going to want to have Manny Pacquiao fighting on November 13th. And if Floyd Mayweather wants to have the fight, it will probably, it will either be then or probably now, not until the spring or early summer.
Now we're talking to Karen Mulvaney, ESPN.com. Now, Karen, you talked about now with in your article, you talked about Floyd's uncle, Roger, his trainer, possibly doing some jail time. How much do you think that has entered in this decision by Floyd Mayweather at this point?
I have I have no idea. It's speculation, of course, and it's certainly speculation that Bob Arum himself brought up on the conference call last night, and obviously it's been a topic for discussion in boxing circles for a while. Floyd's dad has become much more part of the camp again. They've been close together. Floyd's father was much more involved with Floyd Jr. during the build-up to the Shane Mosley fight. And my assumption was always that, you know, while I'm sure that was a legitimate warmth between those two, that also there was the sense that, well, you know, if Floyd Sr. slides back into the camp, then it's less of a problem if Roger goes away for a little while. But I don't know. And I think it is a fair point that if you are going to face what could be your most dangerous opponent of all time, you probably don't want to do it without the trainer you know and trust the most. And perhaps it is a factor. I just don't know.
Right. Now, you also talked about in the article, and if you heard Floyd, you hear Floyd, you hear it on 24/7, you hear it in all his interviews, he talks about his undefeated record and how it seems like it's very important to him. Do you think that could be a part of his reluctance not to face Pacquiao?
You know what, I will say the one thing. I mean, first of all, obviously, he is actually a hugely self-confident guy, but at least with regard to his fighting ability. Yeah, even he has said, interestingly, he has said to us that he doesn't think he's as good as he used to be. He thinks he slipped on a couple of areas. He won't tell us where it is, and watching him against Shane Mosley, it's pretty hard to tell where exactly that is. But in his little heart of hearts, he doesn't think he's as good as he was. And who knows? I mean, it's really, really complex thing being a fighter, huh? I mean, you've got to, on the one hand, be extremely confident that you're going to win every fight, yet at the same time, you've got to have the fear to motivate yourself, and who knows? Who knows what, you know, how that's balancing out in his head? I mean, has the whole thing, you know, the whole drug testing, has everything, has it all been a way to kind of conceal the fact that maybe, just maybe, in his heart of hearts, he doesn't think he's got the beating of Manny Pacquiao, and that he might lose that O. That O is very, very, very important to him. He considers himself.
But how do you keep that O intact, you know, in the world now? If you were, let's say they don't fight, when everyone will wonder, looking back, he had an opportunity to fight him now, what would have been at least twice. And everyone's going to wonder, how can you say you're the greatest or one of the greatest when you didn't fight the one guy in your era that you had to fight?
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think we'll see what Floyd does next. I think signing to fight Shane Mosley after the Pacquiao fight fell through the first time silenced quite a bit of the criticism because, you know, Shane Mosley was regarded as a valid and very dangerous opponent. If Floyd now comes out in 2 weeks and says he's fighting Sergio Martinez for the middleweight belt, then he's going to look really smart and he's going to look like he's a guy who's not afraid of anything.
Definitely.
He decides to fight Rafael Marquez, then it's a different matter. Or if he says he's not going to fight anybody this year, we'll see. I think a lot depends. It is all speculation, and I think a lot does depend on what Floyd does next or says next.
Now, you talked about Floyd saying that he has lost something, and you're not sure what area it is. Freddie Roach came out and said that after the Mayweather-Mosley fight that it was Floyd's legs. Have you noticed anything with his legs?
I mean, he certainly stood in and dug in and fought far more against Shane Mosley than anybody expected him to. He did that against Juan Manuel Marquez as well, of course, but that was somewhat more predictable given that Marquez wasn't at his size. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, whether the reason that he dug in and fought against Shane Mosley was just because he planned to make it a fight or because he doesn't feel he can move as well as he could. If he does feel that, you know, if that's something that Floyd does feel, then that would certainly make a reluctance to fight a guy like Manny Pacquiao somewhat more understandable,
right?
Because if you're going to fight Manny Pacquiao, you're going to have to turn him and twist him and outbox him and outslick him, because you've got to stand
right
in front of him. That's probably not an ideal situation.
Now, and we talk about now that Pacquiao now, if he doesn't face Mayweather, is going to maybe face Margarito or Miguel Cotto. Are we interested in that in boxing? Do we really? I mean, I don't really want to see. Do you want to see Cotto, Pacquiao too?
I have absolutely no interest in that. I don't know anybody who does, really. I mean, none whatsoever. And, you know, Bob was trying to talk it up last night. Well, it's different now because it would be 154 pounds, and this time Miguel Cotto has Emmanuel Stewart in his corner. I don't think it's different in any way. I mean, it was a terrific fight for the first four rounds last time, but then the final six rounds were a beatdown. No interest in seeing that whatsoever. Margarito, you know, it's a question of whether Margarito deserves a big fight. You know, with what's gone before. I will tell you this, that before in the media room, before Margarito fought Mosley, you know, when Margarito was still considered the beast coming off his fight with Miguel Cotto, even back then, before Pacquiao had destroyed Ricky Hatton and done any of that, Bob Arum was talking to some folks and thinking he wouldn't mind matching Pacquiao up against Margarito, and he thought that Pacquiao would just be too fast for him. And that was even then. That was even before Shane Mosley destroyed him. So I think there's an element of intrigue in it because he is a big, tough guy who can hit really hard. But it's probably the most interesting fight out there for now. But it's just, if Mayweather falls through, but it's not even a tenth of what a Mayweather fight would be.
It just sounds like the more and more though, you know, we go round and round, and Paul, I have talked about this now a couple of times on the show, is that when this fight doesn't get done, I mean, these two fighters are losing, to me, a lot of singular credibility with the fans and certainly with the media.
Yes, I agree. I think Mayweather particularly, again, depending on what he comes out and says and does, but Mayweather particularly this time, I think that, you know, there's a sense that Pacquiao compromised quite a lot on the drug testing this time around. I don't know what the agreement was. I believe it was actually the proposal was for a 50-50 per split, and Arum, as far as he is aware, said that was agreed to. I think there's a sense that this time around, Pacquiao, you know, kind of agreed to the final compromise that Mayweather had, you know, before the negotiations collapsed before. I definitely think, again, it depends on what Floyd says, but right now, the onus is really going to be on Mayweather, because I think a lot of people will feel that Mayweather is the guy who walked away from this fight this time.
Is this about egos?
A lot of the reason why Manny didn't want to do the drug testing thing last time isn't, you know, yeah, he doesn't like giving blood, but I think more than any of it, what really annoyed him at first was that Mayweather was essentially telling him to take blood and was accusing him in public, essentially, of being on performance-enhancing drugs. And his pride was hurt and his ego was hurt, and he didn't want to do that. And he walked away from it. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if, like I said in my article, that, you know, as soon as Floyd was essentially being told publicly that he had to sign on a certain date, he was like, stuff that. I'm not going to sign when anybody tells me to.
Right.
I suspect ego has a lot to do with it, yeah.
Now, we'll leave you with this. Will this fight ever get done?
I have no idea anymore. I have absolutely no idea anymore. I thought it was going to get done. I really, if you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I thought this was going to get done. All the smoke signals suggested that it was going to happen. And then as soon as Bob started talking about the deadline this week, then it became clear that it wasn't going to. I don't know. I think it could happen May next year. I don't know how much people are still going to care. I don't know if people are going to get frothed up into even more of an excitement, or whether the moment, the perfect moment for this fight to happen has passed. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, it's twice now this year that it's fallen through. seemingly. So I just don't know. I think it has to. I think there's at least 80 million reasons why ultimately it will. you know, but we'll see. I hope it doesn't happen too late.
And I agree with you. And sometimes, unfortunately, in boxing, that tends to happen way too often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Karen Mulvaney, ESPN.com. You can read his article on Floyd Mayweather on ESPN.com. It's under the boxing section, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so make sure you take a look at that. It's a good read and a good article. Karen, thanks for stopping by, sir.
Thanks very much. Anytime. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I think what he said at the end of it, Paul, was certainly interesting, is the 80 million reasons. If they don't get this fight done.
But that's the curse of ego. You got 80 million reasons to get it done, and it's standing in the way of a great payday. I mean, the biggest payday of each of these guys' career. I mean, this fight would be huge. It would be big.
And for one of them, it will be – for one of them, and you know that, Paul, for the victor, it always goes to spoils. But then they become, you know, certainly in that era, in their era, they are the – you know, they're the true champion of that era. And I think that's the legacy. Don't underestimate, you know, the legacy and the value of the legacy.
And yeah, there's definitely some truth to that. I mean, this is a legacy fight. And you know, this is for pound supremacy in boxing, and unfortunately, a lot of egos involved, and you know, Manny's included, as Karen pointed out with the drug testing and everything, and so a lot of egos are in the way of this great fight, and a fight that would be huge for the sport of boxing, and a sport that can always use a boost. Such as that. The numbers to call the show are 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, I mean, interesting to get some good insight on ego and how it's getting in the way of a lot of things and it's making people make some bad decisions. And we talked about LeBron and we're talking about Floyd here and Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao not getting it done and these two not getting into the ring. And you want to see it happen and something that definitely should happen. You can even go back to Tiger Woods, I guess, on some level, if you really want to talk about ego and how ego may cost him $750 million. The belief that I can go around and take care of myself with this woman and that woman and so on and so forth. That decision-making and his ego may cost him lots and lots and lots of money. That's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but you know what, Paul? You know what? I mean, first of all, the reports are they're up as high as 750 and as low as 150, and she signed through even past his death that she can never talk about it. And I think that certain degrees, you know, this was for Tiger. I think had he handled it from the beginning a lot better. What cost him may not have just been his ego. What cost him may have been his stupidity. I mean, when you do, how many times do these athletes, and not just these athletes, but celebrities in general, or any person in general, when you do something wrong and you know ultimately at the end of the day you're going to get caught, you're best served to be honest about it, because at the minimum, there cannot really be this public trial that went on for Tiger. Had he come out from the start and just, if he would have even said, you know what, there was improprieties, but it's none of anyone's business, rather than saying nothing really happened and it's all, you know, the media and the whirlwind of circles, it could have been different. And who knows? And I've been saying this for a while now. No one really knows why. I mean, Tiger may have, who knows? She may have said, for whatever reason, I don't want to have relations anymore. and we're vilifying Tiger Woods.
Well, it's possible, but even
and that's why. But and he's obviously because of the way it was handled.
It still doesn't explain an individual going out with double-digit women. That's what we know. I mean, it could be more.
Paul, you know. But here's the thing. If he would have said, and part of it is in this country. Hear me out. This in America. I mean, sex is the most. I mean. Like taboo, you're not even allowed to talk about it. It doesn't really exist. So, I mean, if anyone would have challenged, I think, the notion that, I mean, certainly the fact he's married, that was where it crosses the line. But if he would have come out and said, what I do in the bedroom is my business. It doesn't matter if I do it with 15 women or one. I mean, that's my life, not just a song. I mean, and I think that too often Americans, most of all, are just, we're not allowed to explore and to be an individual. But second of all, I'm telling you, I've always stuck to my guns with this.
Hold on, this country was based on, I mean, we're definitely all individuals. We're definitely all and able to act how we want to act as long as it's not hurting anyone else. And Tiger was doing was hurting someone else. He hurt his wife, possibly his kids, and now they're going to be separated. His kids won't grow up in the same home that he is in.
But Paul, that's what I'm saying. You don't know if what was going on in the Woods household. That maybe like I said, maybe Elon drove that man out the door. And too often in this society, but what, Paul? That doesn't make it right?
Right, exactly.
That's in your eyes. I mean, you haven't walked a mile in that man's shoes. So I don't think, I think it's too often people say, so you don't know. He may have, in their relationship, he may have said openly, I mean, this is something we need to have addressed. And if it doesn't get addressed, well, I'm going to address them. And the reason I say is, well, there's a website now. I mean, the guy was on Oprah Winfrey. He's a good quadrillionaire. That Ashley Madison. We're not promoting anything here. Let's keep it real. But the guy's making he's making millions on the fact that he recognizes, and especially in this country, you know, there is a overwhelming. Underappreciation for that, and I think I told you I think Tiger handled it wrong, and I hear this I'm gonna drill it home. He was stupid. The $750 million that he paid out, if he did pay out $750 million, he deserved to pay out because he's stupid. And if you're stupid, you deserve everything you get. He should have just.
But it comes down to ego. It comes down to his ego getting in the way of some things, and that ego may have led to him. I mean, Tiger, in order to be great, sometimes you need an ego. You need it. But that same gift turns into a curse because it may have put him in the streets and hanging out with this woman and that woman and breaking his marital vows. And in the course of all that, possibly, you're saying, there's been reports of $750 million. It could have cost him or could cost him.
I don't think Tiger's worried about the money, Paul.
But let's break this down now. You got Tiger with $750 million may cost him because of his ego. You got Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, may cost them $80 million. And you have LeBron James, who now has decided, who went on national TV to tell the world where he's going. That may have cost him the love of Cleveland, Ohio. So LeBron James he's on the list with Art Modell, the former owner of the Cleveland Browns, who moved them to Baltimore. So he's on that list now. So all these things happen because of ego going wild. And I heard someone say that ego is edging God out. So take that for what you want to take it with. But that's what I've heard the term ego used as and what it stands for. But
I'm glad we're running out of time because at this point, I mean, I'm done. I can tell you that. That was a showstopper.
Well, we got got another 40 seconds left. We want to thank all who called. We want to thank Karen Mulvaney of ESPN.com. Karen wrote an article today. It's under the boxing section. I wrote an article today about Floyd Mayweather and his whole situation with Manny Pacquiao. We also want to thank all the callers who joined us today and gave their insight on this interesting topic of egos. Too wide, too big, too strong. I talk like this because I can back it up. And that's what Beyonce says, and that's what ego does. But anyway, you can listen to shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show.